I am starting with a little story, with sharing a little metaphor with you. Once there was a village at the bank of a big, strong river. And one day a villager sees a person being carried down the river. And the villager, of course, is very confused, but luckily is a strong swimmer. He jumps in and pulls the person ashore. But suddenly sees another person being carried downstream, exactly with the same dynamic. And then another one, and then another one. And the villager calls his friend for help, and they all come and help. They get really, really busy and exhausted by more and more people in high distress in the river, and they bring them ashore one by one. And this goes on day after day, and all get, of course, exhausted, and they're confused, and they don't really know how to handle the situation. And so villagers invent a net they cast across the river so it can catch people. And this goes on and on and on. So I know that's a bit dramatic, but I'm asking you in the room, what is that the villagers are missing here?
Why people end up like this?
Right? They miss finding out why people are falling into the river upstream in the first place. They are focusing on the symptom without really looking at why this is actually happening. And second question for you, how does it relate with our work today?
Yeah, I think increasing awareness about it, like why you end up in such a pitfall to avoid it in the future.
Many people end up embracing mindfulness when they are when there's a problem, and they are maybe trapped in stress, like the people in the net. And maybe by introducing it as an habit, we can avoid the symptoms. So avoid getting trapped and having to build a net or stuff like that.
Beautiful, beautifully said, all of you. What comes up for me is that we have tried to fix our own downstream long enough. And now in this room today, we are willing to start, take the journey to find out what's happening upstream in our own life and in our own minds. And that's what I would love for us to get into today. For those of you who don't know me, I am Maria. My pronouns are she, her. I am hailing from London. And my motivation, I hope to inspire you to live your life challenges in a little bit more compassionate way. And that's my deepest heart desire for the day. We'll talk about mindfulness meditation and having an overall introduction to what mindfulness is and what meditation is. Another point I'd like to make is that I will try my very, very best to make this practice accessible to everyone, but sometimes I will make mistakes just because I'm a human being and I bring my bias and my experience to the conversation and to the room. And so this is an invitation for making this practice yours, whatever. It's more about what feels good and less about what I say and what mindfulness is supposed to be. Let's get it started then. So I'm curious, we are here, so you might not have yet a very full grasp of what mindfulness is about, but maybe you have a sense of what mindfulness is not. Chances are you maybe bumped into some misconceptions, some myths about mindfulness, and you intuitively said, nah, this is actually not mindfulness. And I'm curious to hear from you. What do you think? What mindfulness is not? Wrong answers only.
It's not therapy.
Beautiful. Anu says not meditation. Beautiful. Any other ideas? What mindfulness is not?
Maybe self-optimization.
Self-optimization.
I would say mindfulness is not easy, because it maybe someone could think it easy, but it's not.
Great point. Is really not. It can be quite tricky.
I think it's not a kind of motivation program or something like this.
All right, beautiful. Yeah, definitely. These are all misconceptions and things that don't really, maybe are part of it for some senses, are some of the lenses we can watch mindfulness through, but it's not the end of the story. This is not it. And here there is other misconception that I hear about and I collected during time. This is not a relaxation exercise. It's not something to become Zen, whatever it means. We don't want to, it's not something that I want to do necessarily to calm down for stress management. Even though it's part of it, this is not the end goal. It's not a quick fix. It's not something that will happen overnight. Our world, unfortunately, won't be fixed within tomorrow. Sorry if you were expecting something like that. It will take time. Just like when we go to the gym and we do exercises, we don't expect to be fit the day after. It's something similar. It just will take some time. It's not a technique. We'll see later that it's more of a lifestyle, is a quality, is a philosophy that we want to adopt in our life, and is not a religion. And even though the roots come from Buddhism and from Vipassana Buddhism, mindfulness and meditation are religion agnostic, and they don't necessarily belong to the religion context. And so we can see mindfulness in many different scenarios and contexts. This is just an idea of what mindfulness is not, so by exclusion. Now we can jump into what mindfulness is. And so maybe I want to hear from you first. Any idea about what mindfulness is?
I connect that with here and now. What is in the source of Buddhism?
Here and now. Beautiful. Thank you. I see in the chat awareness, being present. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in my view, mindfulness is a very abstract concept. It's like love, I would say. We can spend hours discussing what mindfulness is, right? And it can be something different, what it means to me and what it means to you. And one of my favorite definitions comes from Jon Kabat-Zinn, which is a doctor, professor, and mindfulness teacher that did a lot of work to actually popularize mindfulness in the West. And he defines mindfulness in this way. Mindfulness is the awareness that arises from paying attention in a particular way. So paying attention in which way? In three ways: on purpose, moment by moment, and non-judgmentally. On purpose means I want to willingly bring my attention on something. In this case, we know already is the present moment, meaning that if a book falls from my shelf right now and I suddenly catches my attention, this is not mindfulness, because there wasn't the willingness to bring my attention there, right? My attention was caught in that particular moment. And then there is the non-judgmental piece, with kindness if possible. And we know that life can be hard at times for all of us, but it can also be wonderful and miraculous. And the key element of our practice is to cultivate a curious, kind attention on all the experience. And this feels relatively simple, I imagine, but how many of us actually feel we spend way too much time worrying about the future or ruminating about past events? Can I see some hands? I can see some, yeah, okay, there are a few hands, yeah. And the truth is that the mind is hardly ever in the present moment, and instead is rehearsing about the past, rehearsing about the future. It's just how our brains are. And this is not our fault. This is all is a brain conditioning. Neuroscientists, they call it the default mode network. And it's just the mind anticipating needs and scanning for dangers and maximizing the probability to survive to tigers back in the days, and today to mortgages and lawyers, probably, I imagine. And of course, there is value in it. But what happens is that we miss the present moment, which is the only moment we ever have to be alive, to make decisions, to grow, to heal, to be here for people we love. And the truth is that many of us live most of our lives in autopilot, lost in thoughts, and we realize that we have not really been there for the important times, and we might feel the pain of it. And so mindfulness, it's a quality of life that we want to obtain, which is paying attention in these particular ways. and train us to rewire this conditioning of being lost in thoughts and bringing our attention back on what matters on demand, whenever we want and we need so. And I'd like to get you a very small exercise to feel it in practice, because I know this can be a bit vague maybe. And so I invite you to take one hand, your favorite hand, and then you take a finger of the opposite hand and you start tapping against the palm of your hand. You can press as much as you want, whatever feels comfortable. If it feels good, you can even close your eyes just for a moment and feel into the hand that you are tapping. Paying attention to the sensation on the palm of your hand. And keeping your eyes closed for just a couple of more moments, you can stop tapping. You can probably feel some tingling or something happening in the palm. And what you're doing right now is paying attention to your hand, to the present experience of the palm of your hand right now. And what we do in mindfulness practice, we choose an anchor that in this case is the hand, but it can be the breath, it can be any different area of the body. And we can do this, by the way, even if we don't have any sensation of the area. If for any reason at all, now you cannot feel anything in your hand, in this context, numbness counts as a sensation. And so nobody is really able to feel every part of the body. And also it gets easier over time. If on top of it, as we feel, perceive this sensation, we suspend judgment, and maybe we even welcome some curiosity, chances are that not everybody spends the day just tapping in the opposite hand, right? And so if we bring curiosity to, interesting, how does it feel when I tap into my hand? What is this tingling? This is a moment of mindfulness. This is curiosity. This is compassion in the present moment and willingly bringing attention to the hand on demand. This that we just did was mindfulness. Mindfulness, we said, is the quality that we aim to cultivate. The idea is that we live our life in this way, percentages at least, as much as possible of our life, because living our life is not really realistic, as we'll see. But how do we actually cultivate it? And there are two umbrellas of practices that we have for practicing mindfulness. There are formal practices and informal practices. And formal practices is the one, it's traditionally called meditation. And it entails sitting aside the time for doing nothing but meditating. And a formal meditation can take between 1 minute to many hours. And traditionally is a form of practice that can be done in 4 body positions: sitting, standing, walking, and laying down. This is according to the Vipassana tradition. And there is no better or worst. It's just about experimenting and find what feels good, what allows you to be consistent and to have a practice that actually nourishes you and fulfills you. Experiment and find what puts your attention the most. And then there is another umbrella of practices that are informal practices. And we practice informally when we apply mindfulness or compassion fully to something that we are already doing in our everyday life. For example, we focus intensely on the sensations that arise within the situation. Like eating, for example, we focus on sight and smell and taste and touch, or maybe even the sound to anchor us in the present moment. I know there are many coaches and leaders in the room, right? Is an informal kind of practice is when we focus 100% in the conversation and we practice active listening, we call it. This is a mindful practice. I am on demand exactly in the present moment, dedicating all myself, all my presence to the conversation. And the basic instructions are the same for both formal and informal practices. We become aware of the present moment experience. And once we notice that our attention has wandered off, we gently redirecting it to the present moment. So just these two instructions, realizing where our attention is, if it's not where I want it to be in the present moment, we gently bring it back. And this is it. I would love us to commit to some practice. And mindfulness is this thing that only works if you work it, to go to the fitness metaphor. If you want to be fit and healthy, you need to put time for the exercise on a very regular basis, right? You cannot just listen to lectures and read books on the topic. That won't make us fit, unfortunately. I would love to, but you won't. And the same is true for meditation. We want to practice this. And let's try to make it daily. And it can be as little as, ideally 5 minutes, but it can be even less. Just a good practice is a consistent practice. Find what you manage to be consistent with.